Aren't you thankful for the wonderful truth that He can and He does prove us wrong with His love? Just when we thought we have gone too far, He's there and He loves us. He cares for us and He will take care of us. I'm so thankful and I'm so grateful. Brother Jared, let's change what we're doing, okay? We try to make plans about what we want to do in a service. Let's just change what we're doing, Brother Timothy. And let's just do our best to follow the Lord. My full intention this morning was to talk to you about what's coming up this week for our church in missions. And because of our schedule this week, and I was gone, and whenever we do this, we usually have somebody else preach on Sunday night. Brother Daniel was scheduled. Brother Daniel's sick today. We're looking at other arrangements and looking to see what God would have. And the Lord has certainly made it clear to me we can talk about that tonight. I just have a heavy burden right now that there are some people in this building who need the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. Maybe you're a saved person and you're running from the Lord. You know that you're not as close to Christ as you need to be. And maybe you're just lost. You may be sitting here this morning and wondering, what is it that these folks are slipping their hands up about, saying amen about? What is it that these people seem to be so happy about? In a world, I mean, it's falling apart. A world that is on fire. A world that there are bombs going off as we speak, as the sun sets in Ukraine. Why can we have joy? Why can we have happiness? And it does all go back to the day that we met the giver of joy, the giver of happiness. This morning on the way to church, God spoke to my heart in a powerful way about something that my youngest daughter Mia was reading in the back seat. Now Mia, all she does is talk. That's all she does. Today she was memorizing her Bible verse. I began, as she was reading it and she was rehearsing it, I began thinking about it. It got heavy on my heart. As I look at the things that are going on around us in this world, I look, Brother Charlie, at some of us, we're just getting older, aren't we? And I don't mean that just you. All of us are getting older. We just talk about it with Him a lot. We cut up about it. But the years are passing us. The window of life is not gradually closing, but it is quickly closing. Right before our eyes. And as Mia read this morning, my mind was drawn to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And when you found your place, would you please help me by rising to your feet, so we can honor the public reading of God's holy word. Well, Joel, thank you for the music this morning, setting our hearts immediately on how God saves old sinners. Brother Timothy and Sister Lexi, thank you for the music this morning, setting our minds on this very truth as well. God may feel a million miles away from some of us. He's not that far away. And if He's far away, or He seems to be to you, it is not His fault. It is not that He has gone anywhere. It is that you and I have. I want you to listen to the words of this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Look with me in verse number 13. This is powerful. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here it is. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Did you hear that? Every work into judgment. With every secret thing. Every secret thing. A whole lot of secrets here today. every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. Now, Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. And I pray that you would guide us. You would show us what you have. You would make yourself through your Holy Spirit so real. I pray for every professing Christian in this building today. Lord, those that are watching online even. I pray, precious Father, that you'd help us to call out to you and ask you to do what only you can do in this time. Speak to our hearts and guide us from your word. And God, just give us a simple nugget, a simple bit of truth today for the Christian or for the unsaved person that they need, that we may make some things right with you. Help us for your glory and sake. I do pray for that one that just feels like God's a million miles away. Maybe they're saved, but they're backslid. Lord, bring them closer to you. I pray for that one that could be here, man, woman, boy, or girl, that's just lost. They don't know that heaven would be their home. Draw that sinner to the Savior. I pray for the children downstairs for the same. Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing, and thank you for praying with me. As we come to these words in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, and we have been studying on Sundays now for several months upon months, and God willing, I'm going to get into the final time of our life with you. Not next Sunday because of mission conference, but the Lord willing, the next Sunday. And how timing it really is as we talk about a time for peace, a time for war. There'll be some things we can learn even about what's going on in our world right now about a time of peace and a time of war. But now, for many, many months, we've been discussing the times of our lives out of Ecclesiastes 3 and even a little bit out of Ecclesiastes 1. We've been studying about what is the real meaning, what is the real purpose of life, why are we having to deal with the things that we are right now? How do we handle these times that we are? And last week we spoke, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about silence and searching and then speaking. And when should we be silent? When we really want to speak. And when we really want to speak, sometimes we need to search to find out what is the right words that we need to say. And then last week we talked about a God of love, a God of hate. Did you know there is a part of the character of God that is a God of hate that you and I need to learn how to handle in our lives? And then we'll look at peace and war next time. But I say that just simply because that was in the earlier stages of the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, this great man, a man by which we've known as a man of wisdom, and he was a man of wisdom. And I'm reminded of how God told Solomon he could have anything that he wanted. God said, I'll give you anything. Boy, if God asked us that he'd told us that he'd give us anything, many of us would be asking for the $1 million. Many of us would be asking for the new truck, the new or the bigger house, or many of us would be asking this for our families or whatever. And some of our requests would be just that God would draw a center maybe, that God would put my home back together maybe, or whatever it is. Many of them would be just, but God would have given Solomon anything. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for power. He didn't ask for anything that would elevate him. But Solomon asked for wisdom. And as you read the writings of Solomon all throughout, you can see that there is evidences of wisdom that is all around and in his writings. And not only in wisdom, but you can see that there is evidence of him looking back on his life. Him looking back, and he's looking back, and he's seeing now as he's looking on the other side of this thing, and the wisdom is being exercised. He's seeing what God gave him that provided wisdom to him. And that is a life lived, and in many cases, a life lived that was wrong. Remember how we talked about he opens up the book, chapter 1, and he talks about the preacher of whom he was calling himself. He's saying, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He's writing this book toward the end of his life. And he's coming down right here to the final words that he will ever give us. And he's still telling us that there is vanity. There is vanity. All is vanity in the previous verses above 13 and 14 by which I just read. But when he comes into verses 13 and 14, he makes some profound statements that we need to wrap our hearts around. I'm praying God will help us today to understand these fleeting moments of life. If you'd like to write these down in your Bible, do so, as I'll give them to you as the Lord gives them to me. But he found first of all that there was regret. You look back from Ecclesiastes 1, as I just said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You come into chapter 3, into the times of our lives, to everything. There is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. And then he gives us that catalog of times, 13 of which by we've currently studied or will study, 13 different ones. He's saying, you're going to face this, you're going to face that. There's going to be times when you're going to have to go through these difficult moments, but there'll be joyful moments that comes along with it as well. You're going to experience it all. And when you look at Solomon's life, you look back and you realize without any doubt, oh, there is no question, Solomon clearly had some good times in his life. He had some bad times as well. He had some remarkably confusing times to us. Who marries 700 women? That's one of those moments where he just went off his rocker, right? And then has 300 concubines. Who has 1,000 women in their life? Who can afford that? He had some good times. He had some bad times. He had some confusing times. But looking back on it, at the end of his life and at the end of his story that he writes us here, he's telling us, I'm having some regretful times right now. I'm regretting about the things that I messed up. The vanity of life. How that I used heartbeats of my own that God gave me. How that I used breath that I should have done and used differently. And I'm looking back with such regret. Solomon's an old man now. He's got the crinkles in his face. He's got the graying hair. He's not able to get up and go as he once did. He's an old man. And don't you know that it's in the final stages of life when you really look back and you start to see what really mattered in life? I am not nearly as old as Solomon was at this point. I'm 44 years old now. I am telling you, I look back over this life and I have such great regret. Just in 44 years, for what I have not done for God, for how that I have not done His commandments, have I not accomplished what God really wanted to do? And I shudder to think what it's going to be like one day when I stand before Him at the judgment that He is speaking of right here. I shudder to think what it's going to be like when He throws up on the screen of my life everything that I could have accomplished that would have mattered. But I was so busy chasing after all of this stuff, chasing after all of that stuff, trying to make my life, trying to make my living, trying to make my family happy. Nothing wrong with that. But remember what he is saying. The thing that matters is living for Jesus. Anything other than living for Jesus, you will come to the verses 13 and 14 of your life one day, and you will look back with great regret. Because you'll realize what really mattered. Solomon here is looking back with great, great regret. But not only regret that we are seeing in the story and in the text right here, but we also see that there is the reality that is sinking into his mind. Verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Did you see that? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He knew that he was writing his final words of life. He was staring at death. He's looking back over it all. He's seeing the good. He's seeing the bad. He's seeing the ugly. the good days he had, the bad days he had. He's looking back over the confusing days that he had. And it's hitting him. It's over. It's over. I mentioned it just a minute ago about what we saw on worldwide television about that tank that was running over that car. It's my understanding that man lived through that, from what I've understood. I was thinking about that as I was driving home last night from up in the mountains, and as I was, and the rain was coming down, and trucks were, you know, when you're on the interstate, that it's hard to drive sometimes with heavy rains and the big trucks, and the thought entered my mind at any point one of these trucks that I'm passing or is passing me could jackknife. And as I passed one of them, it was just a feeling that came across me that this truck, that's about to happen right now. Has that ever happened to you? Ooh, something's about to happen. And the thought entered my mind, could this be the conclusion of the whole matter? Could this be the moment that I am going to see this life, this journey that I am on and have been for 44 years, could this be the moment that it is all wrapping up? And that will be it. Solomon knew this was it. Some people know that it's it. And God allows some people to know that. They know. My mother was one of them, and you thinking of them as well. They know that I'm done. I've got a few breaths left. This is it. I think of Miss Alice. I shared that story this week at that meeting. She knew she was finished. She came to the end and she said, I've got peace, Brother John. I'm done. Life is over. Enough strength of mind to realize that I'm dying, but it's okay. I've got peace. If you came to that very reality today and you knew that you were dying because you could be, could you say that I've got peace? Peace? Would you be looking back in those final fleeting moments as Solomon was right here? Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Dear God, what have I accomplished? Why did you place me here? How did I miss it this badly? I'm telling you that if I see that in 44 years of life, I'm telling you that a lifetime long filled with a life is going to experience it as well. And you see it too, don't you? You look back. Many of you, you're shaking your heads. You're looking back and you realize that there is vanity. You realize that you have missed it. You realize that you have not left this world that much better than it was when you came into it. That burdens my heart. And the more and more for the moment that God called me to preach, the more and more that's upon my heart. I want to leave this place better for God's glory than it was when I got here. I don't want to leave the stock market in better shape. I don't care anything about having bigger barns as the Bible talks about. I don't care anything about having my name on the big banners out in the world, the flashing billboards somewhere. I want to make a difference in the people's lives that God puts in my path. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity, Solomon says. I'm living in regret. In these final fleeting moments, I'm regretting some things because I'm facing reality. You don't realize how precious life is until you are facing the reality that it is over. It's over. It's done. And what you and I need to understand today is we are all quickly marching toward that moment when we are going to realize it's over. It's done. Why are you so Debbie Downer on us right now? Look, we've got to come to the reality that you have a reality that eternity is waiting. It's close. Does not matter how old you are. God may let you know it's coming, but God may not let you know it's coming. Your tank could plow over your life in a split second and it could be over. You may not be able to lay on a deathbed for days, weeks, maybe years. Everybody may not be able to come in and say goodbye to you. Somebody may not be able to witness to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ in one final moment because they know you're on your deathbed. God may have placed you in this room today as your final deathbed moment of a chance to be saved before going out into eternity. He's realizing here, does Solomon, that I'm regretting some things. I'm at the final days of life. Maybe hours, who knows? The reality is sinking in with this regret that it's over. And then Solomon also tells us, however, about the responsibility. He clearly lets us know, I got such regret. I do. Reality of this thing is over. Life is over. And it will be for all of us. But then he tells us what he learned. The final piece of wisdom that Solomon gives us is right here. Do you see it? He says, fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God. Keep His commandments. I believe the Word of God, don't you? I believe that what this Bible says is absolute truth. And here's this man living in regret, facing the reality of an imminent death. It is right before him. And the last words he gives us is not, go to more ball games. The last words he gives us is not, build your 401k. The last words he gives us is not make sure that you play more golf. It is not make sure that you go and travel and see more places. It is not make sure that you get out and you work hard. It's not make sure that you make everybody else happy. What's wrong with a lot of these things? But he says there's one thing that matters, and that is that you fear God. The whole matter, he says, everything is bundled up in that. Fear God. You know what I've learned, Brother Joe? Is somebody who's got a fear of God has no problem serving God. Somebody who's got a fear of God has no problem being faithful to God. Somebody who has a fear of God has no problem giving to God. Whether it be monetarily or whether it be time or whatever it may be, just giving to God. I've sat around and I've seen people my whole life, you have to shake their fist in the face of God, having no fear. No fear of God. I tell you what, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me was he gave me a daddy that I had some fear of. I was sharing a little bit about that this week up at this retreat. I won't get into it right now, but I cannot fathom telling my father some of the things that children are telling their parents today. I cannot fathom it. I've told you time and again, I promise you, I would not be here today if I told my dad some of the things that I hear that people tell their kids tell their parents today. But do you know what helped me have a fear of God? Because I had a human fear of Dad. Don't worry, it wasn't a bad situation. It wasn't a bad fear. I just knew when Dad spoke, he meant business. When Mama spoke, I'd dance around that one a little bit, you know. Yeah, well, I could outrun Mom. She couldn't climb the tree. She couldn't find me. That's all right. Boy, back in Dad's younger days, the old boy could actually move. He wasn't afraid to climb a tree. He wasn't afraid to get me. And he wasn't afraid to take off a belt. He wasn't afraid to get the biggest stick that he could find and wear me out. Wear me out. The last time that I received attention in that way from my father, where I just got a good old-fashioned whooping. It came when I was 14 years old. I wasn't 3. I wasn't 4. I wasn't 8. I wasn't 10. I was 18 years old. I could tell you what I did right now, but I'm not going to. I'm trying to maintain what testimony I can in this community and in this church. I got right with God since that time, I'll tell you that much. But Dad found out. I couldn't imagine how Dad found out. To this day, I'm still not sure how Dad found out. But somehow Dad found out. I don't know, maybe walking with God, God told him in a vision. I don't know. But Dad found out. And Dad came after me at 18 years old. And as soon as I heard the hallway door open and him coming up the stairs, I knew it was not a kind visit. It was a come to Jesus meeting. I didn't even really know why, but I knew I'd done something he had called up on, and he explained it to me, and the wrath of Dad fell. 18 years old. Wouldn't it be good if some moms and dads today actually established some fear of God into their children through the fear of a leader in your home? Mom and Dad. You see, I have a fear of God today because I had a fear of my dad and his authority. He was in charge. And I think sometimes we miss the fact, friends, that God is in charge. God sees every one of those things that you are violating in your life today. The Bible declares the secret things here in verse number 14, he declares the public things, the private things. God sees what you've been looking at on the internet this week. God hears the words that you have said even under your breath. God sees the hate that is in your heart, the intention of revenge that you have there. God sees every place that you've been, every ungodly person that you've hung around with. God sees it all. And he says the number one thing that I'm telling you you have to have is a fear of God. A fear of God will keep us out of that stuff. Responsibility. You see what he says right here. He said you must fear God and keep his commandments. This book is full of commandments. Things that God said, this is the way, walk ye in it. I'm in favor of what the Bible says that I am and am not to do. I try not to run down the trails of what I say or you say, mom and dad says, the TV preacher says, or whatever. You do what the Bible declares. And the Bible will make sure that you're on track. And I believe with all of my heart that if you, with an intense desire in your heart, search the Scriptures to find what truth is, God will reveal it. It's not a matter of us not knowing what truth is. It's a matter many times that we run from what truth is when we do learn what it is. I battle with rebellion, don't you? I want it my way. I don't want to conform in my flesh to anything spiritual because this world just seems like it's got so much more to offer. You know that's true. Boy, there's something driving my heart and my spirit, a battle that is raging, pulling from the left, pulling from the right, the good and the evil. There is something within me that wants to do right. And that is the Spirit of God, and it is a battle. I want to do right. He says, you've got to fear me. Today, one of the greatest things you and I could ever do is find us a spot down here and say, dear God, from this day on, I am making a decision. I am going to fear you and what your Bible tells me, I will stand upon and I will enforce it in my home and with my children. Fear the Lord, this man of regret, facing reality of death, gives the responsibility of all man, fear God and keep his commandment. For this is the whole, did you see that? This is the whole duty of man. You have no responsibility in life other than fearing God. Everything else comes under that. And I've learned that if you just get that straightened out, fearing God, everything else will fall right into place. Just fear God. a man of regret, a man of reality facing death, a man giving us his final words of wisdom in our responsibility that we must have. We must fear God, keep his commandment. This is all that matters in life. And we'll come to the point, if we don't do this, we'll come to the point Solomon was at. We'll say the same thing to our children and grandchildren. One day, fleeting breath, this is the whole duty of man. Fear God. Keep his commandments. And we're gone. Our father in the faith right here is telling us at his dying moments, fear God. Keep his commandments. It's the whole duty of man. It is all that matters. Regret. The responsibility. The regret. The reality. The responsibility. But then I think he tells us clearly in verse number 14 something as well about the reward or the rejection. You can use both of those there. The reward or the rejection. Look at it. For God shall. Do you notice the scripture? He says, for God shall. This is a future event. This is not something that's going to happen in the past. This is not something that you've already lived. It's not something that you've already experienced. God is saying, shall. In the future. And look at what else it says. For God shall. It's not going to be Dad throwing his judgment down on me. It's not going to be Mom that is doing it. It's not going to be my boss that is doing it. It's not going to be a world leader that is doing it. The Bible says that God will do it. Did you know you will meet God one day? You will stand before God. It does not matter if you classify yourself as a Christian or a non-Christian, whether you're saved, whether you're religious, whatever you want to call it, you will stand before God one day. Everyone will. This is a future event for us that are sitting here right now. A future event for those that are in eternity. The Bible declares to us that even those that are in heaven one day are going to have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible also declares to us that even those that are in hell are going to have to appear before that great white throne judgment, where God is going to judge you for your life. God's going to pull them out of hell to come to the judgment, his judgment, the great white throne judgment. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Nobody likes judgment. Nobody wants to be judged. Nobody does. I've never met anybody. And he goes on to say right here, with every secret thing. I just spoke of that. Every secret thing you're guilty of. Everybody in here is. Every secret thing God is going to bring into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You can have every good deed in the world that you want to have, but every evil deed as well is going to be brought into judgment. And on that day, when it's brought into judgment, you are either going to experience the reward of God because you heeded the wisdom of the man of God, the preacher right here, Solomon. You are going to receive the reward of God because you heeded it and you feared God and you kept his commandments, and God will reward you for that. He will do it. Or you're going to receive the rejection of God. For all of the evil deeds, the things you did not honor God, you want to say, my goodness, I'll worry about living for God. I'll worry about giving my life to the Lord later. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to do it my way right now. You don't know if you've got a tomorrow. This could be it. The final words you may ever hear are these you're hearing in this place right now. Fear God. Keep God's commandments. No matter what it is the whole duty of man, because there is coming a day, there shall come a day, the secret and the public things, every good and every evil thing you've ever done will be brought into judgment. I mentioned a few moments ago that on a Sunday night in Shelby, North Carolina, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. He changed my life. God was dealing with my heart for 2 weeks. Mickey, you can come on the piano if you'd like. I think I'm done. I gave my heart to the Lord then, and, And I remember for 2 weeks, many of you may remember hearing this from me, I struggled and I fought and I battled and I said, my goodness, I know I don't want to go to hell. I knew there wasn't something right. I was raised in a preacher's home. I knew right and I knew wrong. My father was one of those preachers. He did not deliver some speech that he gave. We were talking about a few minutes ago. He did not just have a motivational sermon. He stood up and he preached the word of God. He let people in this audience know why they did not want to go to hell. And I tell you what, people don't like that stuff these days, but I'm telling you, years ago, people got saved under that kind of preaching. And God did a work in hearts. And I remember for 2 weeks laying in bed, staring up at my bunk bed, the one right above me. I was in the lower bunk. All I could see was the flames of hell. That's all I could see. And I've told you that I let that go on for a few days, and then I thought, well, what I'll do, actually I was on the top bunk, I said, what I'll do is I'll get on the bottom bunk, and maybe that bunk right above me, I won't be able to see the ceiling where I see those flames. No, I tell you what, I cried myself to sleep night after night, because all I could see on that top bunk then was just, to me, what was the flames of hell. It's just in my mind, God was dealing with my heart. It was conviction, you see. There was no real fire there. But it was conviction, it was reality setting in that one day I'm going to face the judgment. It's going to come. God kept dealing with me. I was a boy in a preacher's home. I was the pastor's kid. I mean, it does take a little bit of pride that you've got to swallow to take a step forward for God. But God will only save those who let go of their pride, who know and who understand the fact that he's your only hope. I said just a few minutes ago that everybody's going to stand before God. For those that are in heaven right now, one day we're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, and he's good and he's evil. It's going to be brought before, and we will be judged for it. I told you that if you're lost, one day you're going to stand. You're going to meet God. Even those that are in hell right now are going to be brought out of hell. And many people are thinking right now, that's a good thing. Hell's not going to be that bad. I'm going to be able to get out of hell one day, at least, if nothing else, to be able to stand before God. I'm going to get a break from hell. I was thinking about that one day many, many years ago, and I thought, you know, that's an interesting question. People say, I'm going to get a break from hell. The lost person who's currently in hell or will be in hell, and then they'll have to be brought back up after they passed away, after they died. They went to hell, and they're going to have to be brought back up to be judged by God at the great white throne judgment. It's going to be a good thing for those individuals to get out of hell. But then my mind was reminded of one day when I was a boy. And how as a little guy, 8 or 10 years old, playing in the kitchen, mama was cooking and I stuck my hand on the oven burner. Psst. My hand was seared. My hand was badly burned. And do you know, I didn't really feel the pain of that for a few seconds. It was kind of like shock that came into my body. A few years ago, God made it clear to me that's what it's going to be like for those people that got pulled out of hell to stand before God. It's not going to be any better. You're going to be standing there after burning, roasting, and frying in a burning hell for all of those years. You're going to be standing there, and the pain of you right there before a holy God will be worse than what it was when you were actually in hell. Because you're standing before the one that you rejected on a day just like this. A Sunday morning, February the 27th. On a hill on the backside of Lafayette, where the word of God was declared that there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a regret, my dear friends, you have. I can sense it right now. You've not given your all to the Lord. There's regret and there's reality that you are having to face because eternity is close. And you've not honored the responsibility of God and you've not feared God. You've not kept his commandments as the whole duty of man. As a result, you're going to be rewarded or rejected. Now look at me, and I'm done. If it ended right now, and it could, if it ended right now, would you be rewarded or would you be rejected? Based upon what God says in black and white, that fearing God and keeping His commandments is the whole duty of man. Father, I give you this people. The conviction of God is in this place, and if for no other reasons, God's people need to bow in an altar to pray that God will save an old sinner. God, I pray you'll draw men, women, boys, and girls up here and downstairs to the mighty cross of Christ. May nobody walk out of this building lost today, I pray. God, help us to make decisions now that we're not going to regret later. Live in the reality of eternity, honoring the responsibility of the commandments and our duty before God. And Lord, anticipate the reward and not the rejection. I give it to you now in Jesus' name. You're standing to your feet.